set out Sunday, what we see that is as in Coastlands is we put out some vision last year, things that God was saying to us and stirring us with. And then we sit in February, the other side of Christmas and New Year's, and all the New Year's resolutions have already fallen apart. And now we say, now what are we really getting on with together? How is this going to land? How do we walk? And some things, as Trina said, are always. And some things are specific for this season. And we get to talk about that. We get to shape that. And this morning I'm going to start with a couple of pictures because I felt, even in God, that there'll be some people today who love slides and detail and all of those sort of things. And there'll be others who attach to stories. Because it's actually about God getting to you and your heart. So that not just that you hear the information or even the outcomes, but that you would actually hear the inworking of the gospel is completely necessary in my life. And I want to expand and release God to do that. Amen? So that's what we're putting out today. And God will bring his revelation. We've had an image on the front of that book. We've got a word, some couple of words on the screen that talk about this idea of resurgent church. What is it to be a resurgent church? And I'm not one of those people who uses catchphrases, you know, like they did. When I was growing up through church in the 90s, and some of you never have to go through this and you will never have to. It's really important. There was always a catchphrase, you know. The power for the hour, or the, you know, that sort of thing. This is not a catchphrase. This is actually something that we really sensed as the eldership that God was saying, not just, and it should always be, not just to our church community, but it starts there for us, but to the wider community of the church across the Western world and into the places that God would want to take us in our hearts, minds, prayers, those sort of things. Resurgent church. I've watched a drift happening in our culture towards the minimization of the power of God. I'm talking wide culture, okay? Not church culture, wide culture. But it has impacted church culture. It has impacted the way that Christians express powerfully the simplicity of their faith and the expressions of it. And it should be an alert and alarm to say, actually, that's not what Jesus intended. Jesus desired a church that was operating in the very things and the nature that he had provided. And we're on a journey together. And so some things are a desire, and you're going to hear that today. Some things are aspirational. We know that God wants this for us. But other things, actually, God, we need to become intentional about responding to the things that are you and being careful of the things that are not you. So I've got some older people in the room, and I can't look anywhere. I'm just not looking, okay? And probably at home, who don't count themselves as older. But let me tell you, the truths that are in their hearts and lives that I've known and watched over the years have become a powerful statement to the prevalence of some of these simple gospel elements and expressions that keep your life steadfast and resurgent in God. Okay, it's getting a bit deep. Let me share a picture with you. Recently, Trina and I looked at our backyard. Not recently, actually, over many years. And we never got around to changing it with the seasons of our family. And so we looked at it, and one of the first things we had to do was say, what needs to be cleared out? What that we love has to be put aside, and what that we love has to be kept. And a lot of this revolved around fruit trees. Gavin was preaching a lot of messages about fruit trees, and I was learning what to do with them, you know? Some of his advice was good, it was God, and other advice, unhelpful, but very, very helpful in most regards, Gav. But there were some trees that were, they took up space. We had an ornamental pear tree. Does anybody know what that is? It has fruit, but you can't eat the fruit. It took up huge space, it grew in the ground, it produced enormous amounts of fruit that we couldn't use. It brought shade and carbon for the trees, and so we understood that. And then there was another tree that never bore any fruit and just looked like a dry stick in the ground. But it just remained that way for so long that we became familiar with it and almost like, we need to give that, we almost started honoring it, you know? The tree that might actually grow, you know? But by far the most producing trees were the lemon tree. It seemed to produce in season and out of season. I don't know if it actually did, but it seemed to. And it was stoic, and it was sat in a very awkward position, sort of off to the side. And then there was another tree, the cherry tree, which always seemed to be very of much interest to birds and other animals to destroy. So we put nets over it, although so going on too long. What we did was we took the two trees that were most fruitful and we replanted them in a spacious place. Put them in a place of prominence. And said, we are basically saying, you are those who will grow. The challenge is this. I wanted to preserve that lemon tree, and as it was being gently removed by an excavator, gently removed and lifted up and replanted, you know, with its whole bulb, you know, there was leaves on it, and whatever we could remain, we wanted to keep. And one day, whilst I was distracted doing something else, my youngest son, whose name will remain nameless, but it will come up in a scripture shortly, he's got these secateurs, and Trina has allowed him to have them. And they're about two-thirds the size of him, and he is an amazing pruner. If we say the grapevine needs to be pruned, it will be back to a stick. And I felt like I'd only turned around for a moment, was working on something, and I turned back, and the lemon tree had one little green shoot sticking out of it. And I called out the name of the person. What have you done? All this energy to replant and reestablish something that was old and good and strong and going to be fruitful yet again for the next season. And it's got one little thing sticking out of it. And I was like, Lord, can this thing live? Well, let me tell you, not only does it live, it came back with a resurgence that it's a little ball of greenness exploding with life, an imminent reality of fruitfulness. But it needed a new place. And it definitely needed a good prune. I knew about the place and the spaciousness, but I didn't know how much it needed that prune. And I just come to today readying you that God may see many of your lives like those trees and say, this has had good fruit, it's borne good fruit, but it needs to bear more fruit, and I know what's needed. And so I'm going to trust the gardener. In the last season, we said, God, what is it that would cause a church like ours, in a city like ours, in a nation like ours, to actually express and own some of the depths of the heart of what we believe? And cause it not to be against something, but to be planted in Christ, and out of him it dwell. The resurgent church, interesting concept, isn't it? I looked it up in the dictionary, and we said, it's a church that's loved by God. It's a church that walks in the light. It's a church that loves like Jesus. Aspirational, sits out there. The English dictionary says, that which rises again, especially one who rises from the dead. Who does that sound like? Actually, this is more acquainted with our Savior and his nature than we could ever have imagined. Not just are we an aspirational version of what Jesus might put on the earth, we are those who are integrated with the very resurrection power of God. This is our English dictionary, friends. So if you were explaining to your work colleagues what you did on the weekend and how you went to set out Sunday and God was speaking to you, you could turn to the Oxford Dictionary and then bring them into the understanding of your life. This is who I am. That which has risen again. That which rises from the dead. That which has given my life for the one who gave his life that we might see the life of God. How cool is that? The resurgent church. It's not because we live, it's because he lives in us and we allow him to have full expression. So we talked about 2022 was like this moment of light in the sand. What are we not going back from? We talked about, 2023 was like a moment of the stake in the ground. Now we put down our roots. We say, God, would you hold us in this place and ready us to take the weight and the space and the expanse that you have for us? But this word really stood out to me this week as I was preparing. Enlarge. I've heard the scripture probably more times than I can remember. But this word just stood out. Enlarge. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. That stood out a lot too. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. There's been a line in the sand that's been marked. There's been a stake in the ground that says, actually, this is what I believe on. This is the conviction in my heart. But then there is a strengthening. The rope goes around and it strengthens as the central pole, the central person of Jesus is raised up. Resurgent church, raised Jesus, suddenly the canopy of grace that is extended for our church, our nation, and our future goes up all at once. And we strengthen those cords. We stretch out what God is doing. We say and we release, God, you do it. When a tent goes up, there's a release that happens. Something's, and there's a canopy. There's a dwelling place. There's a safe place. There's relief. There's refuge. There's an opportunity for restoration. We know that as a church is the work of the gospel. We know these things, but it's like God was saying, enlarge. Now, in the past, I've heard this preached about building projects and great extravagances and, you know, things that need to happen and practical outworking. Sorry, there's not going to be any of those today. What I'm actually talking to is the people of God. It's closer and it's more personal. Enlarge the place that God wants to dwell. Here and here. It's the capacity of his people to engage the things that are only for those who know the living God, that sits in a place of expression and revelation to all those around us who know Jesus and don't know Jesus, that this is what it looks like when God dwells. This is the power. These are the things that God would do. This is what it looks like to turn to him. Is that okay? Now, many of you will say, I actually believe that. And the heart revelation of this is one step from the mind, and the action revelation of this is one step from the heart. And we want to take a couple of steps together today and over the next few weeks that it would actually become an active reality in our lives. Awesome, eh? The scriptures that we read in a Hebrew context often refer to a house, a household, a family, and a field. So while many of us are very acquainted with our house and the importance of it, and many to the degree of the household, even as we are today, the field is put at no less prevalence. The place that is producing fruit. The place where God wants to dwell in his house, but then there is the field. I remember being a young man growing up on a farm and noticing that the difference between the city and the country, and I'm not putting a divide, I'm just putting a comment, is that in the city, people really valued their house. Hence, property values are really high. But in the country, people valued the field. So it didn't matter what house you had, whether it was a good one or a bad one, the field was the most important value. And so it's interesting that we have different values sometimes because of the perspective we have of what's important. But I believe God actually wants us to have an enlarged perspective of the value of the house, the dwelling place of God, the importance of that, the household, and the field. And it's like Coastlands has been growing into that space over the last few years of understanding, actually, it's all three. And for some of you this morning, you might be saying, well, I can't do another thing. Excellent. Thank you for arriving at that point. When we say to God, I can no longer do it, it's amazing surrender when he says, now I've got every opportunity. I was just waiting for your permission. I can't fit another thing into my life, Ben. I can't fit another thing into an hour, another a day. And it's like, the world says what is impossible, and God says what is only possible with him. You would be amazed at what people can do when they're in Christ. And the capacity and the insight and the prioritization that comes to our lives when we know him. Isaiah received that command in a time where the nation of Israel needed to think differently, needed to think expansively. And so with us, it's like God saying, the household is still important. The house is still important, but the field is also important. Watch where you've put your value, and if it's got too much in one area, let God lift you up, raise you up, and expand your heart to have value for all. The resurgent church needs to know a few things. Listen to Ephesians 1, verse 7 to 10. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Drip fed, spoon fed, little portion just for the day. Did anybody read that there? Lavished. Lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Yes, even to the people you wouldn't, he in all wisdom and insight did, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the, say it with me, fullness of time. To unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. This passage is the greatest Vision Sunday message that we could ever preach to the church anywhere, because it encapsulates his will, his purpose, his plan, what he's lavished on us, what he's delivered to us, and there is no lack. In Hebrews 10, he says, don't shrink back from this then, but take hold of what I've given you. Let go of all those other things. Take hold of what I've given you, which we've just described, redemption through his blood. No sin shall separate you. Forgiveness of the trespass. Things that would have held you back, hindered you and handicapped you have been released. According to the riches of his grace, you wouldn't let you do what he does, but he does. Sorry, that's not a great definition of grace, but it is there. He's lavished upon you. He's poured it out. So as we sat as an eldership this week, we were like, how do we receive these things? How do people understand this? What happens usually when a church says enlarge, spread out, spread the responsibility, the authority, the ability, the capability, the capacity? What happens usually? Can I tell you? Dilution. People take a little cup and say, you have a drop, you have a drop, you have a drop, you have a drop, you have a drop. And it becomes diluted. And so people say, but it's not having the effect. But we need to come back to the word and say, we come to Christ where things are never shrunk or small or not enough, because we want distillation, where there is a concentrated version of Christ in every believer's life that pours out and lands in the places that we love together, serve together, open our hearts together. Sorry, that's from studying church history, studying insights, studying movements that maybe you've been a part of. We're not about diluting this and having it less in more places. We want more in all places. More of Jesus in all places, in every heart, and in every visitation. Amen? So I'm preaching with you today, hey? Preaching with you, saying, Lord, would we agree? And then we'll talk about how we walk that out and find how we walk that out together. But I find the richness of those scriptures so helpful. Take them, let them be bound to your heart, and let them release you over and over and over again. So resurgent means, by the definition of these sort of verses, we are part of an eternal plan. Is that big enough for you? Everybody good with that? Part of an eternal plan. You personally, uniquely, are part of an eternal plan. Don't let anyone speak smallness over your life ever again. Imagine that on your job title. Ambassador of the eternal plan. Representative of the eternal plan. We know that two aspects are really important, and you can look some of these slides up later, so I'm not going to expect you to get all of them today. But they're just the reality of what we've walked through to know that these things are important. Two aspects will deliver this. That we are unified in Christ and become effective in him. So not diluted, distilled in the way that we live towards God and one another. So we know there's a unified reality that is Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and brings us an awareness of the gospel working in us and through us every single day. And that he will never run out of creativity, because he's never run out of creativity in what he's designed, of how he's wanting to deliver that. And he knows every heart. If anyone wants to say amen at any point, that is okay. Like, if you want to show some resurgence, that's awesome. It's okay. I know it's Australia and we've got to keep quiet until we know what we're doing, but, you know. Unified and effective. The whole of Ephesians is talking about a bride that is unified and effective in him, drawn to his fellowship, and then have fellowship with one another. No other order will do. So we start to resonate with things together. We start to resonate with something that we've said over many years. We are a family, we're a body, we're an army. We're his family, body, and army. We're actually those who are single-minded in him. We want pure hearts and open hands. And all of these things to work. See, I sort of talked about the mind and the heart and the hands. It's a very interesting flow, and God redeems it all. Your mind is not the prohibitor for God. He set his spirit inside each one who believed in him so that he can untangle our minds, reveal our hearts, and open our hands. Amen? Anyway, we know this stuff. So this is who we are together. We know these are the things and these are the places that God delivers us in. We believe together that it's actually through an extraordinary hospitality, generosity, and creativity that God first extended that we know that we can preach Jesus lives. Jesus is alive, is what our lives say. Proclaim Jesus reigns. He will deliver. This circumstance is not going the way anyone intended. However, we know Jesus will deliver. That's a different posture. And we know that there's an opportunity for God to establish, build up, and advance through every circumstance. And where is it to? Every day, everybody, everywhere. Is that a small vision, Coastlands? Is it God's vision? Okay, good. So we're all invited. Line in the sand, confidence. Stake in the ground, courage. Lengthen and strengthen endurance. Yes, that is about strengthening relationships. It is about strengthening those who are going to carry more and more, reminding, encouraging. Just like Hebrews said, if we're going to have confidence, then we're also going to need endurance. But it means that we're going to have to let go of things and come to Christ. Because the fellowship with Christ is the thing that untangles and reveals everything else. Distilled, not diluted. Anyone like receiving a diluted version of something? Okay, good. We're on the same page. There is a reality that God has initiated this. He initiated the relationship with you and for you and will do it through you. And so, it does firstly need to get to the depths of our hearts before it goes to the ends of the earth. But it will. This gospel. Part of having the Tuesday night together is to ruminate together on how does, okay, I see that I might want to be involved in this. God might be saying about this, and I hear what Ben's saying here and what God's saying about this season, but what needs to happen in me and through me to work that through? I don't know about you, but our family has to sit down and talk about stuff to work things through. You know, it's not as effective or helpful if someone walks off in a and tries to work it all out themselves and then return with the great plan. Amen? So we're just a family coming together and saying, God, help us to work this through. And in the meantime, we're getting our minds free, our hearts pure, and our hands open. There's method in the madness. So what are we invited to do today? We read out of 2 Samuel 7, chapter 7 last year, and we said, we understood that there had been a time of peace in David's life. Him and Nathan, the prophet, had got together. They were a little bit sick of God's Ark of the Covenant sitting in a tent, and so they thought they'd build a house for him. And that night, God said, don't build me houses. Don't build me a place. I want to build you. And so together we heard that message. I want you to build you. That's what we're talking about today. I want you to build you together. I want you to build into you and see the depths of your heart expressed to the ends of the earth. And I'm like, God, would you do that in our hearts? So great. Okay, well, that's what we believe. But there was an invitation in this to say, join the relief effort. If you want to be a part of seeing his gospel outworked across the world, come and join the relief effort. Respond to Jesus, open your heart, and see what he does. And I know there's some here saying, so where do I sign? I'm in. I want to be involved. Join the relief effort. Be gospel-minded and bring hope is to preach Jesus every day. The Oxford Dictionary, you have seen that. Now, grab your little booklet you've got there. And there's a picture of a lion looking through the cross. Now, we're looking back at it through the cross. We're looking back at this lion. And, you know, the enemy is described in Scripture as like a lion. He'll prowl around like a lion to devour things, right? Like a lion. It's counterfeit in every way. But we have the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the resurrected God, the King of Kings. And when you look through the cross at the truth of who you're meant to be focused on, it is a very different image than what most people are coming to the cross for. When they come to the cross, many people come with guilt and shame and sin, and they lay it down before the cross. But as those who are redeemed, we now look through the cross and we look at the nature of God. We look at his heart, his peace, his calmness, his determination, and his reign. Gavin was saying to us this week that, coming from South Africa, that a lion's space, even if you put a lion in a caged, you know, safari park, the lion still owns it. Just try and get out your vehicle. So you can think you own the lion, but you get out your vehicle and you find out who reigns. You know, God reigns. Jesus reigns over this earth. Even if this earth says, we've got Jesus put in a box over in a corner and we don't need to worry about him, he does not change in his nature, and neither should we. Amen? Isn't that good news? So as you're looking through the cross, that's what we see. Not our depravity, not our mess. That is done with at the cross, but we see him. And the word that comes to mind most strongly for me was the word formidable. When I look at a formidable God, I see a resurgent church. An immovable, formidable God. The Oxford Dictionary says, someone who's formidable is inspiring fear or respect through being impressively great, large, powerful, intense, or capable. Very great. And I'm like, this dictionary just keeps describing God to me. Everywhere we look, even in our poets, even in our writers, they keep describing my God. Resurgent, risen again, formidable, capable, impressive, great. Not in a way that they need to talk about it all the time. They just are. That's the Jesus I believe in. So as we start to walk together, and we've been talking about this better covenant that he reigns in and lasts, we realize that as we, simple things, like we were singing that song, and maybe some of you are old enough in this room to remember, you know, the songs about Jesus on our lips, you know? Jesus is like, the name of Jesus is like honey on our lips. His word is a what? Lamp unto our feet. You know, talking about the Spirit, you know, brings refreshing. These simple truths, if you do not know them in your life and know that they are the outworking of God, then you will not employ them. But to be able to know that when something is sour, challenging, formidable is coming towards you, then the way to become formidable is to have Jesus' name on your lips, his word in your hands, lighting the path in front of you, and the Spirit, like refreshing for your soul. So when we sing these songs, we're declaring the truths which are inherently reserved for the Christian life. And yet many people in Australia are too scared to even expel it out to outside to anyone else, express it outside to anyone else. So they're caged and others are lost. This is full on, guys. You and I get to uncage that lion. Not to running around and being dominant. No, he just is who he says he is. And when you are faced with a living God, something transforms inside of you. So we can say, that people say, wow, that happened in your life, and how did that turn from that to that? And you're like, well, that's who I'm standing with. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Sings over your life. And when you utter his name, Jesus, when you open his word and let it light up what's going on, and when you let the Spirit of God refresh you, it is powerful. The field is incredibly important. And as people grow up in a farm household, they get to work in the field. They get to engage the field. They get to understand the importance of the field. And they know that it's to be fruitful. They still come back into the household. What for? Leading, feeding, watering, sleep, resting. Yep. That's where we get rested. We come together. Led, fed, watered, rested. There's rest. And then we resurge into those places. Amen? All right. Short version with big pictures. Oof. So, to be a resurgent church member, here we go. This is for all the AGM members of different clubs and football clubs and all those sort of things. You understand it. What does God actually talk about being a member of his family? It's actually really releasing. Family means that we are relationally connected. The moment you are born into the family of God, you are relationally connected. Just like when you were born into your family, no one got a choice, right? There isn't a choice here. You are part of the family, and God has given us grace to live one another. Secondly, we are a body, so we are functionally connected. We work together, we walk together, and we are contributing. It's just natural outflow of what God intended. And instantly, we are an army that is contending, missionally contending, for the hearts and the minds of those who are with us and beyond us. And saying their hearts need release, their minds need reprieve from oppression. They need to receive the relief. So this is very close to us, and it goes very far from us. Do you see that? And we get to take that on. So resurgent church members get to be part of this. Now we are members of his body. We're not signing up or conscripting up or doing anything like that. We are entering through Christ, and we are members of one another. So not only are we responsible for, wow, God, what have you released us to, but also responsible for the person next to us. There's also responsibility, and we become responsible and resilient. Yes, Lord. In that little booklet, that we have been redeemed, but we are responsive and we are resilient. These are the acts of faith that responds to us really quickly. So faith stewards of the gospel become single-minded, pure-hearted, and open-handed. And faithful servants of the gospel let their hospitality, generosity, and creativity outwork. Okay, this is what God wants to do in and through our community. Not just this year, but throughout the years to come. God just wants to move on his people, access the areas that they've locked up because of challenges, because of pain, because of abuses. And actually say, God wants to release and take back what's his and reserve for him. And then walk in it. Because then we can provide refuge extensively by proclaiming Jesus' reign for people's lives. And then we can restore godly expectation in our nature that Jesus' return is actually not about make sure you've got everything in order before the last day, but actually he brings peace. When Jesus returned to my life, he brought peace. He set me free. And gave me peace and established me in a place that was spacious and open and free. And I want that for others. So when we're saying people, prepare for his return, we're not talking about the imminent gloom and judgment. We're talking about the immediate reality of saying, if you would like to be judged righteous and come into his courts with praise and be set free, do it now. Don't wait till then. Join us in the way that God would like to walk us. And your lives are an expression to others about that. So we are, simplified, a church with a local and a global mission to the depths of our heart, and then through this community, the household of faith, and out into the field to wherever God would call us and whatever he would desire to do through us.